And there's truth in that, isn't there?
Amen.
Right.
Nursery children?
Exactly. All right, nursery time. I tell you nothing, we got two nurses back here. I'm telling you right now. Yeah, I just feel sorry for the nurses, that's what I feel. All right. When I'm on my knees, give one more hand of applause.
Father,
Your words are powerful. Your scriptures proclaim the truth. May we see what the truth is. A lot of people across this globe are confused about this thing called salvation. And yet, Father, there should be no confusion within God's holy scriptures. For you make it as plain as you can that salvation is about believing, speaking, and living. May we understand that today. As your word challenges us, to those across this globe who may be watching, may they truly understand that salvation is a gift. But you have to receive it. Are you willing to receive it? For it truly is the most holiest of gifts that anybody can receive at this lifetime. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we pray. And everyone said?
Amen.
Now, for those of you who've been in church most of your life, you would think that this is pretty right on, pretty simple, knowing what it is and understanding what salvation is all about. But a lot of times, we've come to understand that a lot of people, because of what's being taught, not only in this country, but around the world, that now salvation is one of the most confusing aspects of life. Now, I don't know how that can be. So we got to make it simple. We've got to understand. Here's what Paul says. He says, if you will confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart. So you're confessing and you're believing what? That God has raised him from the dead, then you should be saved. Point blank. Now, in most circles, that should be black and white. Two things. You confess. You say, I believe in Jesus. I believe that he lived. I believe that he died. I believe he resurrected. And I believe he's coming back again. You say that. And then in your heart, you believe that emotionally you are tied to that decision. See, we can say anything, but we have to be emotionally tied to it. I mean, I can tell you I love you and hate your guts. Huh? Isn't that true?
Sure.
Sure. I mean, I can say that all day long, but if it's not truly from the heart, it doesn't mean anything. There are people that'll tell me all the time, yeah, I'm saved. I ain't seen them in church in 10, 15 years. I know they don't go nowhere else, and they got the health to go. We got people that come here in wheelchairs and come in walkers any way they can to get here. They've had operations to make sure they can get here because they know this is where they should be. This is where they want to be. Amen. And then you got people in perfect health that want to argue with me. I'm saved. I don't have to go to church. Well, then fine. Just stay home. Meet God one day and enjoy that conversation one day.
That's right.
There's one thing I don't want to hear. It's apart from me. I never knew.
That's right.
Woo! Lord mercy. All right, number 10. For with the heart man believes. That's your feelings. And unto righteousness. It's an awful time. Come and go pray for grandma. Any a dog, baby? Alright, for the heart of man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto what am I confessing? I'm confessing I'm lost. I need Jesus. That's what I'm confessing. That's what I'm trying to say. And I say that not only with my mouth, but I say it with my actions. I need Jesus every day.
Amen.
Because man, verse 11 has to come alive here. For with the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, whomsoever, who says they believe, shall not be ashamed. Now, you can debate with me all day long what that means. But if I'm ashamed of you, I'm not going to be around you. Is that true? If I'm ashamed of who you are, what you do, or how you say it, why would I go out of my way to be around you? Okay? Well, if I was saying, well, God, I'm not going to be around him. I want nothing to do with him. Yeah, I know what to say at the right time if someone approaches me, but that doesn't mean anything. You know, there's all kinds of people today that are in hell that seem to know the right thing to say. Knowing the right thing to say and not believing it is sort of like being lukewarm. And Revelation says a real clear picture of what it is to be lukewarm. It means you put one foot in, but you won't put all yourself in. Jesus says, either give me all or give me nothing. If that's
Amen.
It. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, well, here we go. Therefore, Paul says this in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if any man believe in Christ, he is, she is, they are a new creature. And actually, in the Greek, it's creation. You have been recreated into the eyes of God. Old things. Now, somehow or another, people can't get past this. Old things. Believe me, every one of us here have old things attached to us.
Amen.
Every one of them, including me, have got some old things attached. But the old things are done away with. They're gone. They've passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's a process. Here's the process. Whenever I become saved, and I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm in the process of letting the old stuff go, and I'm grabbing on to new stuff. Sort of like if you, a lot of people around here, and I'm so too, a lot of people around here have lost a lot of weight lately. I'm trying, but I still got a lot of old air. I'm just telling you, I got a lot of old air. I remember the day in my 20s, I used to love a mirror. I don't even have a mirror in my house. I don't believe them. What do you need a mirror for? All right? Now, it's a process of, as you diet, if you begin to, you know, you don't eat the old stuff you used to eat. And you have to wean yourself away from the old stuff that you used to eat. Or if you're diabetic, you got to wean yourself away from the chocolates and the cheesecakes and the ice cream and the German chocolate cake. Good Lord, is it lunchtime? You know, you got to sort of do that. Now, sometimes that's not pleasant, but you know if you don't do it, it's going to be a problem. All right? So you grab on to new things. You start eating cauliflower. Yuck! You start eating fat-free stuff. Listen, I was raised on Miracle Whip. Fat-free Miracle Whip is garbage. It ain't the Miracle Whip I was raised on. I'm just telling you right now. Alright? In other words, anything that's fat-free means it's taste-free. Okay? That's what that means. Anything that says fat-free, you can't taste it. Or if you're praying, you don't taste it. Alright? That's what that means. That's what that's all about. Okay? Alright? And then if you got high blood pressure, you gotta get rid of salt. I had to do that years ago. I used to love salt. Okay? I used to love it. But you see, it's a process. Because the whole deal is what I'm going to gain. It's a lot better. And I don't mean when I say what I got to gain, I don't mean weight. I mean benefits. Okay? When you lose weight, you gain a lot of benefits. Namely, it's life. Here's what I love about it is that sometimes, because I go see doctors all the time. I get tired of doctors. I love my doctors. They're good people. But the less I see of them, the better off I try to be. You know, who likes to go see a doctor? You know, you have to, it's a part of life, but the healthier you get by letting go of the old things and grabbing on to the new things, the better off you are. Well, we all know that in life. Well, it's the same doesn't mean our spiritual world. We have to let go of some of that old stuff we used to do. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. And I told this story to me. Sam, that guy one time years ago said, you know, Christian people can't have any fun. I used to have a lot of fun. Now I'm saved. I'm one of the most boring individuals you've ever been around. I said, yeah, you used to have a lot of fun. You remember most of it? Well, that's beside the point. I enjoyed it while I was doing it, but I don't remember what happened the last day. Well, we have to understand something, folks, is that when Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And here's the deal. The new creation is going to go on forever and ever and ever and ever. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Back in the day that I tried to memorize was this scripture. Now today I can't memorize anything, but back in my day, this is one of the first scriptures I tried to memorize. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Because of that, no one should boast about it. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That works there in the Greek also means behavior. Same words that we get. How we act, okay? Which God has before ordained that we should walk in now. Grace. That's what salvation is all about. You are accepting God's grace because he's given you a way. He's given you a way to heaven, to eternal life, to eternal peace with him. He didn't have to do that, and he gave that way through his son Jesus Christ. Now we, on this side of the cross, we have to believe that by faith, because I didn't see it. It's in God's word, so I have to believe that God's word was ordained, that I understand and I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. I also believe he resurrected for me, and I also believe he's coming back for me. It's personal. It's called faith. Now, in Paul's day, there was a lot of people that thought that as long as they lived a good moral life, that's all it took to be saved. Paul said, I'm going to correct that right now. And you need to understand something. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how good you think you are. Unless you believe in Jesus Christ, and you've accepted his grace by faith, you are lost. Because here's the problem. When I begin to say, you know, I do good stuff, then it's all about me. Not of works, not of my own action, because that person's going to boast. There is no humility in that. In other words, look at me. My grandfather used to always say, and I think I have told you this, he had an expression called smell me. Means, look at me. Look how good I am. Pat yourself on the back. You the man. You the woman. You all that, aren't you? Smell me. Look at how good I am. And you may not say that in so many words. You may not come across that sickening. But if you say you can get to heaven on your own, you don't need Jesus, that's exactly what you're saying. Because it's all about me. I don't need Jesus. Because I'm a good person. I'm a good woman. I'm a good teenager. Well, whoop-de-doo. Alright? I'm tickled that you're good. That whatever good definition you want to put on good. Okay? It's not about being good. It's about knowing Jesus. Now, people argue, yeah, but I know people who claim they know Jesus and they don't go on the lands out here. Well, what to do. Well, that's between them and God. See, I'm not going to answer for somebody else. Because it's easy for me to point the finger at someone else and say, well, you know, they claim they're a Christian and all that kind of nonsense. Well, what would they do? Well, so what? They don't have to answer God for that. If they're a child of God and they're not acting like a child of God, they're going to have to meet Jesus one day. Here's the deal. Roger is not going to have to answer for nobody because I've got enough to answer for him own. You understand what I'm saying? And that's really what we need. Quit taking your eyes off of other people and get it on Jesus. You'll be much, much better off. I promise you that. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, good actions, which God has foreordained that we should walk in them. All this is saying, and I know a lot of people seem to not grasp this, but God knew me before I was even born. You just have to understand that. God wouldn't be God if he didn't know me from the very beginning. He knew all of you before you ever came in this world, knew your parents, your grandparents, go on back to every generation you want to go back. God knew that. All right? He knew what was going to happen to me. I don't know. I don't have a clue what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't have a clue what's going to happen tomorrow. But if I didn't serve a God that knew what was going to happen tomorrow, I wouldn't serve God. That's why I pray to him. Because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Just give me grace. Give me health. Give me peace. Let me witness for you as best I can. I know I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. The sun could be shining, it could be pouring down raining. It could be life-changing for you, or it could be just a normal, boring day. I don't know what it's going to be for you, but neither do you. But I serve a God that knew me before I was in the womb, which means he also knows tomorrow. That's the kind of God I serve. Give the Lord a hand. All right, Larry, let's go back to the first screen. Can you go back to the first screen? Is this how to? Thank you.
You're all right.
Uh-huh. I get people that send me emails on occasions that want to know how you and I get along. I don't answer that. All right. You've seen the scripture. How to what? What do you think? How to get to heaven? Could be one way of putting it. That's not exactly what I had in mind, but it's close.
How do you say it?
Well, that is, and I use another phrase you're very familiar with too. But it is what?
How to live.
Well, how to live, that's good too. That's right. But that's coming up in a few weeks. Don't you cheat and get ahead of
me. How to what?
How to love, or how to know love, that's good too. What is the word that we use for saved in the New Testament? What did Jesus say in John when he went to have Nicodemus, that conversation with Nicodemus? What
born again.
Born again.
Yeah.
How to know you are born again. Do you know that? Do you know how you're there? Do you know how you got there? You got there through grace, faith, believing, confessing that Jesus was born, lived, died, resurrected, and is coming again. Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Give the Lord a hand of applause. Stand with me, please. Every head bowed, every eye is closed. Michael begins to play. Father, in the holy, holy name of Jesus, how we thank you today for God's precious word, for by grace are we saved. Oh, not of anything that Roger's done, because of everything Jesus did. if there's anyone within the sound of my voice that does not know you, Lord, as Savior, may this be the Sunday. May this be the day that they begin life anew. If you're watching by internet today, make sure you understand this. No matter where you're at, what you're doing, daytime, nighttime, I don't care. All you've got to do is bow your head and confess with your mouth that you want to be saved and you want to believe in Jesus. Now you've got to believe it in your heart. You can't just say the words. You've got to have emotions tied to it, and you've got to believe it in your heart. When you've done it, you've done it by faith. You've accepted grace, and now you have a home in eternity. That's what God's Word says. How to know that you're saved, born again. You know if you believe in Jesus. Father, bless these moments. We thank you for it. Jesus is precious and holy name. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you come in the name of Jesus? Mm-hmm.